A new study shows the dramatic scale of the economic shutdown.
We all know in general terms that the figure's pretty bad, but it's quite staggering to see them laid out in black and white.
We'll explain what happens when a quarter of America's economy just stops, and how coronavirus ripped through the trading floor of America's biggest bank. It is Monday, April 6th. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Health officials are warning Americans to brace for the toughest period of the pandemic. Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams was on Fox News Sunday.
This is going to be the hardest and the saddest week of most Americans' lives, quite frankly. This is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment, our 9/11 moment, only it's not going to be localized. It's going to be happening all over the country. And I want America to understand that as hard as this week is going to be, there is a light at the end of the tunnel if everyone does their part for the next 30 days.
The latest models predict infections could peak in hard-hit cities, including New York, Detroit, and New Orleans. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was hospitalized for testing yesterday, 10 days after he was diagnosed with COVID-19. His office calls it a precautionary step, and he's said to remain in charge of the government and in touch with key officials. The news came shortly after Queen Elizabeth II gave a rare televised speech to the nation, thanking healthcare workers and urging citizens to stay home to prevent the spread of the virus.
Together we are tackling this disease, and I want to reassure you that if we remain united and resolute, then we will overcome it.
The Queen has made this kind of address only four times before in her reign of nearly 70 years, including after the deaths of her mother and Princess Diana. Italy's daily death toll hit its lowest point in more than 2 weeks, and Spanish deaths dropped for a third straight day. Some are hopeful these could be signs of a turning point, but there is still much to be done, and existing data may not reflect the full picture. Japan is preparing to declare a state of emergency in the effort to control the coronavirus there, according to local reporting. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is expected to announce a declaration that will give local officials legal authority to order businesses to close and people to stay at home. Japan has a relatively low number of cases compared to other large countries, but recent data have health officials considering stronger measures. Coming up, exclusive new numbers show just how powerful an impact the pandemic is having on America's economy. At least a quarter of the American economy frozen. A new analysis reveals just how hard the pandemic is hitting. Markets editor Quentin Webb explains.
So we've seen a staggering drop in daily economic activity in most counties in the U.S. It really equates to something like a 29% drop in daily output in this month compared to the same time in March. Now, you know, if you were to scale up and that was to kind of hold for the whole quarter, you'd see this absolutely staggering drop in annualized gross domestic product. So something of the order of a 75% drop. We should emphasize that Moody's Analytics, the co-authors of the report, don't foresee that. They actually think things will be very bad, but they won't be that bad across the whole quarter. But, you know, the key takeaway here is we've got something that's worse probably than a kind of wartime situation. It's more akin to a kind of synchronous national disaster, which instead of it being an earthquake or a hurricane affecting one part of the country, is hitting pretty much everywhere at once.
Many economists expect output to pick up in the summer or fall. But Quentin explains how the recovery from this kind of shutdown is likely to be rocky.
There's this big kind of feedback loop problem, which is that this is an unusual crisis in that it starts on the supply side, so businesses can't really operate. It's not that we don't have demand from consumers. But having started on the supply side, it's inevitably going to kind of ricochet into the demand side as well, you know, because people are losing their jobs. Even if they don't, they might kind of pull back their spending to try and tide them through difficult times. So those two things are going to kind of exacerbate one another. You start with businesses closing, you end up with a consumer who's damaged, then that feeds through into more damage to businesses. Whatever else you can say, it looks pretty certain that the trajectory from here, any kind of recovery, this path is not going to be a smooth one.
In just a moment, what happened when the virus hit the biggest bank in America? Now, how the pandemic ripped through the trading floor of J.P. Morgan, America's biggest bank by assets. Dozens of employees from a single floor have been quarantined after an outbreak struck its stock trading operation. A pivotal moment appears to be March 9th, when top execs reversed plans to work from separate sites and ordered many traders to report for duty as usual at the firm's Manhattan headquarters. Journal reporter Rob Copeland spoke to Charlie Turner about our exclusive story. Rob was able to reconstruct how it unfolded after talking to bank employees.
Well, I know this feels like a lifetime ago, but let's try to remember. So 3 weeks ago, around March 9th, New York is still basically functioning as usual. Some of the big tech companies have sent employees home, but none of the major banks or the financial service institutions were making too big a deal of this. So on March 9th, JP Morgan was supposed to be splitting into their emergency response plan. But instead, overnight, the markets start to tumble. They hit their stop limit. And the bank's top executives say, hey, everyone needs to come in as usual. That day, an employee on the fifth floor, an equity employee, comes in. He's sick. He has symptoms. He stays home the next day. He tests positive just that week.
Rob, tell us why, even in a pandemic, companies like JP Morgan don't want its employees working from home.
Well, this goes back to the way Wall Street is structured. First of all, most people at JP Morgan on that floor are earning commission. So you need to be making money for clients to make money for yourself, to pay your own rent. Second of all, trading is largely electronic now, but that doesn't mean that all of the technology is the same. JP Morgan and its rivals have invested billions of dollars in technology that only works at the office. So you can't just say, hey, bring your laptop home and do what you do there. It's a lot more complicated.
Did JP Morgan alter its policy so employees could work from home or from the remote sites? I assume the technology eventually worked.
You know, you would assume that, but there's a big difference between what JP Morgan tells us on the record and what their employees say to us. A spokesman for JP Morgan says on the record that employees have been given the choice to work from home and that more than 80% of the trading staff, in fact, is doing so. The employees that we spoke to, though, said that there is sort of an implicit understanding that even though the bank says, yes, you can work from home, for certain roles you're expected to be in.
What kind of fallout has there been from this episode, Rob?
There was fallout even before we published the story. As you know, we go and we tell companies what we're going to write well before we actually publish. And we heard from people inside the bank that in between when we called and when we published, there were several phone calls in which executives said, we just want to make sure you guys understand that you can work from home.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rob Copeland. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Thank you.
A tiger at the Bronx Zoo has tested positive for the coronavirus, and other big cats have developed symptoms. But they're now all doing well and expected to make full recoveries. The zoo says the cats were infected by a person caring for them who wasn't showing COVID-19 symptoms at the time. Previously, the CDC hadn't gotten any reports of U.S. pets getting COVID-19. Until more is known, the American Veterinary Medical Association recommends that people who are ill with COVID-19 be extra cautious, restricting contact with pets in the same way they would with people. We are here to answer your questions about the coronavirus pandemic. Call 315-992-8298 and leave your question on our voicemail. We will have our reporters and experts get you answers. And that is what's news for this morning. We'll be back with another updated podcast this evening, and we will keep covering the pandemic and other stories on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.